things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're such a privileged people, Lord, to have this opportunity to come together to worship you in spirit and truth. I pray, Father, for your strength. I pray for your people, O God, for, Lord, a readiness to receive the resurrection ministry. Help us, Father, to get aside of our own bodies this morning and be able to speak. Thus saith the Lord, which you have given to us through the lips of your prophets, from Genesis to Revelation, and including this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we examined, or for the last time actually, been a few weeks ago, where we examined where Jesus told us that if our eye be single, our body would be full of light. And we know that he was speaking of if our focus be single-minded, single-focused on Christ, then our body would be full of light. I'd like to take this one more step by examining what Brother Brown focused on in the unveiling of God from Philippians chapter 2. And so we'll have to go back to paragraph 11, where Brother Brown is reading from Philippians 2. And he says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. We examine the character of the Word of God is the life of the Word expressed. Now this morning I'd like to examine again this area concerning the character of the Word, but this time we're going to examine it with the mind of Christ as our main focus. For a man's mind is where his character is projected from, and the life he expresses is the projection of his character that comes from his mind. From the Bible, or the Bible tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, we see a man is what he thinks. And he is the sum of all his thoughts in his mind. And his mindset is then expressed in his actions and his words. Now, Brother Brown taught us in his sermon, World Again Falling Apart. He said, now just don't be worked up. Don't just say, I belong to church. You be sure of that. If Christ doesn't live in you, he says, till all of your mind, your heart, your soul, your body, you say, well, I think, well, you haven't got no thought coming, brother. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. I think the days oughtn't to be. I think this oughtn't to be. I think the word don't mean this. We have no thought coming. If the mind of Christ is in us, then we'll recognize that word to be the truth. And it lives right through us. You can't help it. It's Christ. Take the life out of a watermelon vine and put it in a pumpkin vine, it'll bear watermelons. You can't keep it from it because that's the life that's in it. And if you say, well, I don't believe that the word here, then that ain't the spirit of Christ. See? There's some other spirit in you. In other words, the spirit of Christ in you will recognize the word as it comes to pass because the same spirit that wrote it is making it come to pass. That's why 1 Corinthians 2 is so important to us, because it tells us in order to understand the things of God, you must have the Spirit of God in you. No spirit, no understanding. That's all there is to it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, he said, no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. And that's all there is to it. No spirit, no understanding. And that explains a whole lot when you hear the unsound teachings that go on in the name of the message. Now, from his sermon, Christ is the Mystery, Brother Branham says, now you say, well, I might know I was losing my mind. Maybe a man that loses his mind does that. But if you have the mind of Christ, Christ expresses himself through you. It shows that it's him and it's not. You've lost your mind. Some people under illusion and things go up and they become insane. Well, we know that's wrong. That's the devil trying to impersonate the real thing before it gets here. See, there's always a bogus, see. But a real man loses his own thoughts and his own thinking. Not come up blindly like that, no sir. But you come up with your right senses and Christ takes you over and expresses himself. And now to the world, you're an insane person. Now, if you're insane, you're actually insane. There's nothing. The devil can't take you in complete control. He will make you do everything contrary to the word, but when Christ takes you over, he will express that word right through you because it's him. He is the word. See? And when you can see the expression of Christ, not some illusion or some sort, but a real, genuine Christ expressing himself right through you, how beautiful. Now notice Brother Brown said, you come up with your right senses and Christ takes you over and expresses himself. And that is what being righteous is all about. You are righteous because you are rightly wise. The Bible says, he that doeth what is right is righteous. Now in 1 John 3 and verse 7 we read, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, which he's speaking of God, is righteous. And Solomon understood this one in Proverbs. He said, Proverbs 12 and 5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Now in his sermon, World Falling Apart, Brother Brown said, so anything perverted has to have an end because everything that had a beginning has an end. It's the things that did not begin that never dies, never have an end. And there's only one thing that never did begin, and that was God. Therefore, the only way that we can ever live eternal is to have God's life in us, and that's eternal life. And God separated himself among us, giving his spirit like he did on Pentecost. It was a symbol of fire from the pillar of fire that separated itself among the people to give his own life out to the people. And through this, the mind of Christ should be operating among us. And God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and is still God. And that's right. It is the Word. And when we get away from the Word, then we're away from God. Therefore, you cannot separate God from his Word, nor can you separate God's life from his Word, nor God's character from his Word. For as a man thinketh, so is he. And therefore, your life, which is your character, expressed, has 100% to do with your mind, and thus your mindset. You know, you can't be an evil person doing evil things and claim to be righteous. I mean, you can claim it all you want, but, you know, it'll by their fruits you'll know them. From identification, Brother Bradson, now just listen a minute. How can we have the mind of Christ that was in him and then deny the things that he commissioned us to do? Well, that's John 14:12. That's Mark 16. How can you claim to have the mind of Christ that was in him and then deny the things he commissioned us to do? How can we place miracles in the past when the very Christ himself was God and God in you? In the presence of God, there's always miracles. He said, you call me Lord, why call me ye Lord and do not the things I've commanded you to do? I laid it for you to do. Don't you see where we've gotten to, where the church is drifting? And I find it a whole lot among our Pentecostals too. We're drifting too far from that lifeline. We must come back to that, friends. Come back, because we're getting big now. Now how can a church, any church, claim to have the mind of Christ and then deny John 14:12? That's exactly what Brother Brown just said. How can we have the mind of Christ that was in him and then deny the things that he commissioned us to do? Now I want you just to think sometime about when Moses led the people out of Egypt. Moses didn't always know what God was going to do. He just, when God gave him a word, he stepped into it. When he got to the water, And the Egyptians surrounded them. And all the people were bickering and complaining and said, look now what a fix you've gotten us into. Moses didn't know what to do. But God told him, speak and go forward. Didn't tell him how the water was going to part. Didn't even tell him the water was going to part. He just said, speak and go forward. That's all he told him. And sometimes, you know, we're looking for God to come down and put everything on a plate that's even written in Braille so that if you're blind, you can see it. It's not the way God works. Speak and go forward. He plays it. Look, if you have His Spirit in you, then I think you do have an inkling of what He wants done. And He's going to speak to your heart and He's going to let you know. Again, we read from Brother Branham what he says here in his sermon, Identification. He said, we've got to take the entire full gospel. And now, being that we have identified ourselves as full gospel people, let's mold our character. We're invited to be molded in His image that we might reflect His presence. So how do we reflect His presence? Brother Ram tells us in the next few words, he says, and the works that I do shall you do also. The life that I live, so shall you. We're invited by God to take Him as an example and let our character be molded like His. What a thing, man. Then, when we let His character be in us, then we have become sons by having the mind of Christ, mind, which is His character. Your mind makes your character. Let the mind, Paul said, the mind of Christ, this mind that was in Christ be in you. Let that mind of Christ be in you. It molds the character of a son of God. Now, you can't tell me that a man that's always telling dirty jokes and cussing and swearing and everything else has the mind of Christ. He's got too many things in his mind that are polluting. He's got a hybrid, but he doesn't have the mind of Christ. Now, from Seven Seals, Brother Bramson, may I just pass this to you. When the supernatural comes in, that's the mind of Christ. You become so far away from your own thinking till in your own mind. Now, don't let me try to explain that, because I can't. See, I couldn't do it. There's nobody could do it. How could that man, that's the Elijah, stand up there on the mountain under the presence of God and pull down fire from heaven, then rain right behind the fire, and then close the heavens and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months, and go right back and call the rain on that same day and under that anointing, and took 400 priests out and killed them, and then run to the wilderness screaming for his life on the threat of one woman, see, Jezebel. She swore that she'd take his life, and when Ahab and all of them was there to see the presence of God and the great miracles done. You know, laying in bed in that hospital, I had a lot of time to look up. And I may talk about it sometime, some of the things the Lord opening to my heart. But remember, as I've said before about John 14:12 is no different than John 5:19 and John 5:30. As Brother Brown said, you can't explain how it's going to be done. God just does it. You respond. You step into what He's showing you. It gets done. It's not you doing it. It's God working in you both to will and to do. And that is exactly what Brother Branham explained to us in a sermon, The Spoken Word's Original Seed, where he said, now notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ, John 5:19. So will the bride. So will the bride what? So will the bride not do anything until God shows him first. So will the bride, and he shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now I've got a great big hallelujah. Here is the secret. Because the word is in the bride. And the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. And she does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord, then it is germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves his purpose. They do only his will. Amen. I believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God. For it is himself in them continuing his word to fulfill as he did complete in his day all things when he was here. He did not complete all things when he was here, for it was not yet time. So when it comes down to, you know, sometimes I think we think of John 14:12 and we think of, well, you know, in the third poll, and the bride's going to do this, and the bride's going to do this, and you know what? The bride's not going to do any of it. It's God working in you to will and then to do. The bride is just going to recognize what God wants done and step into it. That's it. I look back in my own ministry, and I see all the times that God has stepped in on the scene and took over. I've seen Him stop storms, drop the temperature by 30 degrees, start rain and stop rain, both. Grow back body parts removed by surgery. And I can't count the number of times I've had brothers write to me because they had no rain. And after we prayed, it rained. Or vice versa. They had so much rain that their crops were dying. They wrote to me and said, "Brother, you know, we're having floods here, and it's going to wash away our crops." And I'd just say, "Brother, what time is it there?" They'd write back, "It's this time." I said, "Okay, let's pray together." We pray together. I said, "Now, I want you to let me know what time the rain stopped or what time the rain came, depending." And every time it was within an hour, God changed the entire situation for them. That's happened literally dozens and dozens and dozens of times. These are all John 14:12, and yet I never made anything happen. I simply asked my Father to step in and help His children. All I did was just yield to the Holy Spirit and ask my Father, and He's the one who did it. It's not about us, it's about Him. John 14:12 was followed by John 14:13. In 12 He says, "The works that I do shall you do also, and even greater than this shall you do, because I go to my Father." And then He says in 13, "Ask anything in my name and I will do it." It's not you doing it. It was a God that was in His Son who will do it. "Ask anything in my name and I'll do it." As Brother Ram said in a sermon, "Anointed Ones at the End Time," he said, "Now, I want you to know this is here, and you that listen to the tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message, but I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, because I wanted to be attractive. But it's the will of my Father that I declared to do and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when He appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things or foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when He does it. I was only a voice that He used to say it. And it wasn't what I knew. It was what I just surrendered myself to that He spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh no, it was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel of His message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The angel is not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words would fail, but you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. When you can see God perform such supernatural to completely change weather, completely drop the temperature, whatever it is that you ask Him to do, grow back the body part, whatever, it's very humbling to recognize that God is still on the scene. And He loves His children so much that He's willing to completely destroy the natural phenomena and overcome it by a supernatural phenomena. As I lay back in my bed in the hospital reflecting on my desire to have the Holy Spirit touch my body before the surgeon did, I thought of all the times He spoke to me or to do something and then He changed the weather, or He gave me the laptops that I had just prayed for, or stopped the storms, or grew back body parts. I've seen John 14:12 so many times, but none of them did I have anything to do with it, except I was just there as a witness to what He was about to do or in the process of doing. That's all. Because it's not about us. It's about Him. You know, we talk about having faith for this and for that. But if faith is a revelation, then if God does not reveal it, then it's not a revelation. It's a belief. It matters not what our faith is. If our faith is not what He has revealed, then it's not a revelation. It is only a belief. And as I lay on my back, I could do only one thing, and that is to look up. Why do I believe He is a God that healeth all my diseases? Because God said so. I was holding on to what He said. Then if He did not heal this disease and I had to have the doctor surgically remove it from me, does that mean that He is not the God who healeth all my diseases? No. That only means God did not choose to heal my disease by the spoken word, but He chose to use a physician at this time. And so we must ask a question. And the answer is that God... ask the question, why? And the answer is that it's for God to know. I'm still hoping that through this ordeal he may receive all the glory, and somehow I believe before it's all over, that which was surgically removed will by His word one day be restored. I know it will be. I just don't know when. Before the resurrection or after. I testified to the doctor before surgery that I believe that God would heal it. And he said, I believe He can heal it, but He doesn't always do it like you're saying. After the surgery, he said to me, someone up there is looking after you because I've never seen such a clean surgery where we've got everything. He said another man that had the exact same thing this week, but by the time we got to his, it had gone throughout the entire colon and we had to remove everything. So I'm believing and praying that just like the brother whose leg was gangrene 1 minute, and after we prayed for him, he went back to the hospital and the gangrene was gone. And just as they had removed part of his foot by surgery, but when he returned to the hospital after prayer, that which was removed from surgery had grown back. That is what I would love to see in my own testimony, and in Sister Rebecca's testimony, and Brother Don's testimony. And do you believe God can grow back your body parts? I do. Not only that, but He will restore your body to what you were when you were young, and I'm believing He can and will. If He could take Abraham's 99-year-old body and Sarah's 89-year-old body and restore to the time of life, as He promised to do, the time of life is 16 to 20 years old, I think He can restore us older people back to young bodies again. And anything we've had removed from these bodies, He can restore back. But John 14:12 is not telling God what to do. But it's just being ready to step into what He wants us to do. It's simply having the right motive and the right objective. That no matter what God wants me to do, I'm willing to do. And I believe Paul, who had his head surgically removed from his body, when we see him in the resurrection, his head will be fully restored to his body. Amen? We're not going to walk up to a headless Paul. I'd rather brag in what God can do that sound as if He can't do because I refuse to talk about it. He created our bodies and He said in His Word that He plans for us to live in them for an eternity. So He's got to return them to a time of life just like He did Abraham and Sarah. I don't think I could live in this body for an eternity. I don't think I would want to. But in a glorified body that's restored to youth, I think I would love it. Now, from His sermon, God identifying Himself, Brother Brown says, the pouring out of the Holy Ghost in the last days upon the common people has identified God's characteristics with the people. He promised it. It's the Word. He said He'd do it. Nobody can take it back. He said He would do it. So all these things that He's promised, that's what He does. It identifies His characteristics. Yes, sir, don't believe it. Don't believe my claims if my characteristic isn't that of God. In other words, if my character is not reflecting His nature, then don't even believe my words. You don't have a right to believe it. Now notice John 14:12. He that believeth on me, He said, has my identification. John 14:12 then is the identification that we believe. And is the identification that we have His characteristic. It is the identification that you have His nature, that you have His spirit. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. That identifies that the character of Christ is in him, displaying the characteristics of him. Amen. But John 14:12 is not in the miracle side of things. Is not a daily phenomenon. The life is. The character is. Some men in the scriptures, when we saw many miracles, you might have seen a handful of miracles in their entire life. Elijah had 12. That's it. Elisha had twice that. But you look at some of the other men of God. Job. You don't see great miracles except for what God did at the end, restored his family, restored everything. It's all about God. It's not about us. How many miracles did Abraham perform? None. It was all about what God had promised him. But John 14:12, nevertheless, is reflecting the character of Christ. The phenomena is John 5:19 and 5:30. Whatsoever the Father shows you to do, you're willing to step into it. He says it identifies his characteristic. Yes, sir, don't believe it. Don't believe my claims if my characteristic isn't that of God. Now notice in John 14:12, he that believeth on me, he said, has my identification, my characteristic. Notice, what is characteristic? It's character. Right? He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. That identifies that the character of Christ is in him. Displaying, and then when the things take place, that's the display of the character of him. Amen. Again, what was the characteristic of Christ? John 5:19, John 5:30. The Son can do nothing, but whatsoever he seeth the Father do, that the Son do it likewise. And if that is the character of the firstborn son, then won't that be the character of all born-again sons? From the sermon, Life, Brother Ransom, now the Christian church should have real character then. And if the life of Christ is in the church of Christ, then it's got to have the character of Christ. It'll produce the life of Christ. It's just no more than just what we would call in the South common sense. If the life of the Spirit of Christ is in the church, it has to produce that life, because the life that's in you makes your character. And what kind of character ought we to be? We have solemnly promised that we would serve the Lord Jesus as long as we live, and we have been baptized to his death, burial, and resurrection, and have put our names upon the church rolls and taken our place in Sunday school, and then go out and live something different. Oh, it's more of a detriment to the cause of Christ than all the bootleg joints we have in America. God grant the day that when men will live just what they are, and you can always tell them by their nature, their maker. Again, from Identify Christ of All Ages, he said, I was born of Branham, and that's how I am in him. Now, that's how we're Christians. We're born a Christian. And you don't join it. You're born into it. Then you take the character of Christ. And you know from our studies on the spirit of adoption, when you are born again, you're born into the family. You have the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. But we have to grow up into Christ, who is the head. And once you grow up into his image, we have grown up into the character of Christ. But there is an approach to being conformed to his image. And Brother Brown tells us in his sermon, you must be born again. He says, now the approach to this birth. There is approach to it. And the approach to this birth, and you have to go through a process, just like anything that lives. Anything that lives again has got to die first. And you cannot keep your same spirit. You cannot keep your same habits. You cannot keep your same thoughts. You've got to die. You've got to die like he died. You've got to die on his altar, like Abel, with his lamb. You've got to die with your lamb. You've got to die to your own thinking to be born to his thinking. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. You got to think his thoughts. And now, brother, sister, let me say this as intelligent as I know how to say it. How can you think his thoughts and deny his word, and yet claim that you're born again? Just ask yourself that question. How can you do it? You can't. If you're born again, you got his thoughts. If the mind of Christ is in you, then you are a new creature. And he sums up this thought by saying, your own thoughts are dead. From choosing of a bride, he said, I remember one time a prophet went up to take a king, to make a king out of Jesse's sons, to take one another, to take another king's place, Saul. And so Jesse brought him out, and he was a great big fine boy, and he said, the crown will look right on his head. And the prophet went to pour the oil on him, and he said, God's refused him. And he refused every one of them till he come to a little old, stoop-shouldered, ruddy-looking fellow, and he poured the oil upon him, and he said, God chose him. See, we choose by sight, but God chooses by character. Character. There never was a character like Jesus Christ. It lives in him, manifests in, and we see it true. It's not worldly beauty of him that attracts his bride. It is his character. The character of the church that Jesus looks for, not whether it's big building, whether it's great denominations, whether it's big membership. He promised to meet with wherever two or three are gathered together, truly. That's where the true believer rests his hope upon that word of God being vindicated in truth. What is it? Choose by his word. Not a worldly group, a loving group. They hate that. No wonder she's divorced from him, because she's missed his revelation and she don't have it. He cares not for her the way that she acts and does, and how much of the world stuff that she has. He's looking for her character, the character of Christ. From Countdown, Brother Branham said, now he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. He cannot change his decision. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. If the life of Christ is in you, if the mind of Christ, then we're concerned, and then we do the things of Christ. He said these signs that he done will follow every believer that believes in him. Again, from questions and answers on God being misunderstood, Brother Brown said, see, people misunderstand this enthusiasm. People misunderstand today. They misunderstand the power of the Holy Spirit. They call it a bunch of holy rollers. They call it a bunch of people that can't, that ain't got their right mind. They misunderstand that you had to lose what you call your right mind because you have the mind of Christ in you. You can't have the mind of the world and the mind of Christ at the same time. One's carnal and the other one's spiritual. He that walks after the flesh is carnal. He that walks after the spirit is spiritual. Amen. So I'll lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. And Queen of Sheba, always remember the church, God's words are true. I believe the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. And if you can look at it in the right way, but remember, He's been my standard in life. I try to do this, the first thing, and I want to find out whether it's the will of God or not. Then I know it's God's will. The next thing is my objective to it and my motive in doing it. Then if it's the will of God and my objective is right and my motive is right, I have faith that it'll be done. Because first, it's the will of God and my objective is to glorify Him and my motive is to give Him all the glory. See? So there's no selfish motive about it. If you have a selfish motive, it won't work. If your objective is to make money for yourself or something, why, you'll never succeed. And then try to do something outside of the will of the Lord, then it won't work to begin with. So there is genuine faith, but you must come into the real channel of God to have that genuine faith. There's human faith, and there's faith of God. And you must have a godly faith to believe. And now, then to have godly faith, you must have the mind of Christ in you. Then that's how God projects to you visions and revelations, and all these things comes by the mind of Christ being in you. You get it? That the mind that was in Christ be in you. And in closing, from Jehovah Jireh, Brother Brown says, when you come to total obedience, then you can have possession. But until you totally obey, you've got to be completely surrender your thoughts, your will, your own will, your own mind, and let the mind of Christ operate in you. Now, do you think Christ would, the mind of Christ in you would say the days of miracles is past? Do you think the mind of Christ in you would say the Bible's right in some places and not in others? The mind of Christ would sanction every word that Christ ever said. It's right. So if you don't use your own mind, just use His mind. That's how visions at nighttime. If I use my own mind, what could I do? I couldn't do nothing. But just yield myself to Him, and then He uses my mind and my eyes and my mouth. He's my all. And just yield. That's the way that you do it. That's the way that these ministers do when they're preaching the gospel. They get up there and take a text. Why, they just start off preaching and yield themselves to God. their ministers, and the first thing you know, the Holy Spirit maybe take them on another text or take them somewhere else. And from hearing him, he says, the mind of Christ is to be in the church, and the mind of Christ, the mind of God was in Christ, and how that the Spirit led Christ, so ought his Spirit lead the church. And all that God was, he poured into Christ, and all Christ was, he poured into the church, so that the church has the power that Christ had. Christ had the power that God had. He said, at that day you'll know that I'm in the Father me, I in you, and you in me. And from 1 Corinthians 2:16 we read, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we do have the mind of Christ. And from proof of his resurrection, Brother Brown says, now, if you just got good reasoning, you'll sit down and try to reason out the Bible reason. How could he raise from the dead? How could these miracles and things take place today in this great realm of civilization, science, that we live in? You try to reason that out, and you're just getting farther and farther away from God all the time. You'll never know him by reasoning. God's not known by reasoning. God's known by faith. You accept it. You believe it. You can't do it until something's happened in you. Then the Holy Spirit comes in you, and you have the mind of Christ. And from water separation, he said, but now, notice all the time that when you're producing life in here, keeping you alive, something has to die constantly to keep you alive. Did you know that? Well, you say, well, what about it? The steak that you eat tonight, a cow had to die for it. Is that right? The fish that you eat tonight, the fish had to die for it. Is that right? The kale that you eat tonight, or spinach, the spinach had to die. See what I mean? The potato had to die. Something had to die. See what I mean? Something had to die, and you eat the dead remains of something to make you alive. It makes corpuscles, and it makes blood cells, rather, and it makes... And so you're constantly eating something dead to keep you a living. See? Life physical can only come out of death. And life spiritual can only come out of death. See? Christ had to die to make us all alive and quicken us. Is that right? So it's only through, no matter what church you belong to, how many times you shook hands with the preacher, how many times you got on the book, or how many churches you belong to, it doesn't mean that. And Brother Van Snatch is speaking. You've got to absolutely accept the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, you've got to die to yourself. You've got to die to every thought of the flesh so that you can receive the mind of Christ and walk from henceforth, not of your own, but of his mind, the mind of Christ in you. That's the only way that you can stay alive. That's the only way I can stay alive. That's all I live by, is by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was tempted by his appetite. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And in closing, witnesses, Brother Bram says, and there's where God spoke from the heaven, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove, falling upon a man who'd been born in a manger. See, what the world called great, God calls foolish. And what the world calls foolish, God calls great. That's right. So don't mind to be called foolish, because remember, you can't have the mind of Christ and the mind of the world at the same time. You can't be in your way and God's way at the same time. You have to get out of your way to let God have his way. That's the only way that you're ever going to do anything. You've got to get away from your own thoughts, your own reasons. Don't try to reason, just believe. As Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought for itself. Let's just bow our heads. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing for us, all you're doing for the bride. I just pray, Father, you've kept us in nourishment, you've kept us in jobs, you've kept us in funds and everything else to keep us alive, Lord, during this time of the world pandemic. And yet we know, Father, this is not the first one. I mean, this is not the last one. This is just the beginning. We know that when you came down against the Egyptian world, you brought 10 plagues. I don't know how many there will be at the end time, but your scripture does say 7 vials. And so, Lord, we just ask you to stay with us, oh God. May we stay with you. That's the most important thing, Lord, that you would stay with us, because you know, we could say that we stay with you, but it's not about us, it's about you. We love you, Father, with all our hearts, all our mind, all our soul, all our energies, Father, and we just pray that you'd receive what we have as an offering. You said, let your bodies be a spiritual offering. And so, Lord, we just pray that our bodies would be lifted up to thee in Jesus Christ's name, and that you might receive them through the blood of your Son. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon thee.
Lord, make his face shine.